Well, how's everybody doing today? Y'all doing good? Awesome, awesome. Well, here it is. It's Christmas time, and you know what that means, right? It's almost your birthday. It means a lot to different people, doesn't it? But one thing it means to everybody is that it means it's time to get our wish list together, right? Anybody else got that wish list already ready? Or you've probably been handed one from your kids or grandkids, at least, haven't you? But, you know, when you think about your wish list, it kind of brings it to my mind. And I was thinking, I wonder what you would wish for if you had one wish. And so I asked a few people today what they would wish for if they could have anything and that one wish could come true. And so one of the persons that I asked, they said, well, I would like a lot of money. And I said, well, that's not a bad wish, you know, because you can help people out and help a lot of people if you got a lot of money. So not a bad wish, but it's probably not the best wish that there is out there. And so I asked another one, and she said, I wished I was married. And I said, well, that's a good wish, too. That's not bad. Not bad to be married, is it? And then, you know, over the course of the day, some people said they wanted happiness and health. And then I had one knucklehead. He said, I want more wishes. I said, that is not legal. You cannot ask for more wishes. But what I want to talk to you tonight about, it's in the New Testament. And I just want to show you something that's in the New Testament. We're going to be talking here in just a minute, but it's the Christmas season, and I want us to understand when the Christmas angel came to announce the birth of Christ, who remembers what that angel said? He said, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. That's right. You know, the angel said, glory to God in the heaven, in the highest, and peace on earth. And what's interesting is that when Jesus would talk to people and when he would greet people, whether they were coming or they were going, he would often say to them, he would say, peace be with you. And even if there was something that tragic happened or something significant happened and they were leaving, he would say, now peace go with you. Or now go in peace, sometimes he would say. But I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about the Apostle Paul, how he often, whenever he would start his letters to the churches, you know, he wrote the church to Thessalonica, he wrote letters to the church of Corinth, and many letters that you can read in the Bible. And he starts them out, and he says, grace and peace be with you. And what's interesting about that is that he said grace and peace. And I think that he had plenty of other options, didn't he? He could have said something like grace and power or grace and riches, but that's not what he said. He said grace and peace be with you. And I would suggest to you tonight that many people in their life, they really want peace in their life and they don't even know it. If they were to, you know, the question that I asked today, I never got one say that I would like to have peace. But I would suggest to you that there's people in this life that don't even know that they really want it or need it, but they want peace. And they want real peace, though, if that makes sense. A peace that the world won't even understand, if you will. It's a peace from heaven, a divine peace that can only come from God and only God can give. Because I don't know if you know it or not, but you can have all the money in the bank and still no peace inside your heart. And you can be successful on the outside, but you can be incredibly empty on the inside, can't we? And so, now on this one, I don't want you to say amen too big if your spouse is here, but how many of you know you can be married and not have peace in your home? You know, so I know no elbows being punched out there. But I believe what a lot of people want, and they don't even know it, is they want a peace that only comes from God. Amen? Amen. But what so many of us actually have is the exact and total opposite. We have turmoil and stress fills our life, don't we? And a lot of us, we're afraid at times and we're anxious. And when we think about our relationships with your family and your friends, when you think about those, what is it that you want? I would say that you want peace, don't you? You want harmony, you want understanding, But so many times we have the exact opposite of peace. We have misunderstandings and we have disagreements. We have hurt feelings and bitterness and we have unforgiveness. And I think what so many people in our world today really want and really need is peace in their life. And so if I were to title my message tonight, it would really just be a question. And the question would be, is peace even possible today? In the world we live in, is peace even possible today? Well, I want to show you from the Word of God tonight that it is. It is possible. So if you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking, man, I need peace in my life, I want you to really pay attention because it's a really simple message tonight. And what I want to do is I want to show you a portion of Scripture. It's going to be from the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 1. So if you got your Bibles and you want to turn there, and I'm going to be talking and quoting a couple of different versions, the New Living Translation and the NIV, but I wanted to just give you a couple of different versions of it so that you can see. But before we start, I want to give you a little bit of context about Isaiah 26, and it's in a season much like we are in today. It's a time of fear, unsettledness, wars, rumors of wars. And the prophet Isaiah, he prophesied of a day of unbridled worship, of just all free worship, and filled with peace and passion and praise. And for the goodness of God, he said these things in Isaiah 26, verse 1. It says this. It says, "In that day, everyone in the land of Judah will sing this song. Our city is strong. We're surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. Open the gates to all who are righteous. Allow the faithful to enter." And then he says down in verse 3, he says, "You will keep in perfect peace." Say perfect peace with me tonight. Perfect peace. And so all of those who trust in the Lord, all of those whose thoughts are fixed on Him, he says this, he says, "Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord your God is the eternal rock." I tell you what, I love this promise, the promise that says you will keep in perfect peace. I need that promise. How many of you need that promise tonight? I want that promise. You will be kept in perfect peace, the peace of God that comes from heaven. Amen? And now, I don't know about you, though, but I'm way more familiar with an imperfect or an inconsistent peace in my life. Can anybody else relate to that? Like, I can have peace one moment, and I can even pray about it, and I can pray to God, and I can tell Him, "God, I trust You with something," and I'll be fine for just a few moments. But then about 3 minutes, I'm like, "God, where are You? Why haven't You answered my prayer yet?" And I can have that moment of joy and tranquility and even that sense of peace of God in my life. And just moments later, it's crazy to me how overcome with a sense of anxiety and dread and fear that I can become. And yet, God promises something called perfect peace. What is perfect peace? The word peace in the Old Testament comes from the Hebrew word, and it's the word shalom. And it's actually a Jewish greeting, just like Jesus would say in either coming and going. It means the same thing, and it means peace with you, may be peace with you. And so shalom, it's a great word, and it's peace in every way, basically, is what it's talking about. It's a complete and perfect peace. It's peace with God. In other words, there's never going to be like this internal sense of fear or dread or wondering, like, where do I stand with God? Have I done something so bad that He's not going to love me anymore? Or have I gone too far? Or is my shame too great? It's peace with God. It's peace with other people. It's peace within yourself, even. It's peace with your circumstances, even when your circumstances aren't what you'd ever want them to be. It's shalom. It means complete, whole peace from God. And what's interesting to me is that the original Hebrew text in Isaiah, if you were to look at the Hebrew, it will say, "You will be kept in shalom, shalom." It just doesn't, it says it twice. It doesn't say it just once, but it says it twice. And So that's an emphatic statement in the Hebrew language, and it's saying that you're going to get a double portion of peace. In other words, what God is saying in there when he says shalom, shalom, he's saying, I will give you your portion of peace, and I'll give you even more than you need. Amen? It's a peace that goes beyond our ability to understand. And so, now, I want to be clear tonight that peace does not mean that you're not going to have trouble in this world, okay? Jesus is pretty clear about that in John 16:33 when he tells us, he says, in this world, you will have trouble. He didn't say you might or you maybe or occasionally. He just says that you will have trouble. And it doesn't mean that you won't have problems whenever you get this peace from God. It doesn't mean that nothing in your house is ever going to break. It doesn't mean that your kids are never going to get in a fight on the way to church. It just doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems, because you're going to have problems. And peace means that you're going to have a difficult time. But what is shalom, shalom? The perfect peace of God. I really want to get this one point across. If you don't remember anything else I say tonight, I want you to listen to this and understand this. It says we need to understand that peace isn't found in the absence of problems, but peace is found in the presence of God. Okay? So peace is not meaning we're not going to have problems. Peace is found in the presence of God. It's shalom, shalom. It's a peace that only God can give, and it's peace means we're in God's presence. It's God's assurance, if you will, even when life is anything but what we want it to be. And some of you right now, you might be saying, you know what, my marriage stinks. Where's the peace in that? Or you might say, my body is sick. Where is the peace in that? Or I'm trying to hold everything together financially, and Christmas is coming and the bills are stacking up. Where is the peace in that, God? Or maybe you're here and you're like, man, I've got a child that is addicted to drugs right now. Or there's pornography in my home. Where is the peace in that? And you're scared to death. And it's a good reason to be scared. So how do you experience the shalom, shalom of God? And that's what I want to get to tonight, is how we do that. I want to show you in Scripture how that we can experience God's peace this Christmas season, okay? We need to understand that the battle for peace, it begins in your mind. It begins in your minds, and there's a war in your mind. How many of you agree that there's a war in your mind at times? I know that there is in mine all the time, it seems like. You see, I can know the truth of God, and when my mind wanders into, you know, I know it, but then all of a sudden my mind will wander into all these untruths. Or better yet, I can believe the truths of God and the promises of God for you, but there's times that I have hard time believing the promises and the truth of God for myself. Anybody else that way? Am I the only one? I hope not. But you see, there's a war going on in our mind between what God says and what my mind sometimes tends to believe, wrongly believe. Amen? And so the battle for peace begins in our minds. And that's why I want to show you two different versions of that powerful verse in Isaiah verse 26, verse 3. So I want us to look at the New Living Translation. I want to read that to you. It says, it's translated this way. It says, you will keep in perfect peace all whose thoughts are fixed on God. Let me read it again. You will keep in perfect peace all whose thoughts are fixed on God. And now let's look at the NIV version. The NIV says it this way. It says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast. Notice what Isaiah doesn't say. He doesn't say that you will have perfect peace when your mind is fixed on CNN or Fox News, right? He doesn't say that you're going to have perfect peace when your mind is fixed on your future. You're not going to have peace whenever your mind is fixed on your financial problems, or whenever you get that bad report from the doctor and your mind just gets overtaken by it and you begin to focus on that instead of God, you're not going to find that perfect peace. But in fact, in Hebrews, it says here, there's a word that is translated, and it's the word samak. And this word means to lean completely. So when it says fixed, the word fixed in the Hebrew is samak. And it says to lean on completely or to fully rest on oneself. And so like if I were to take this stage and or maybe this right here and this is God. This is God and I'm leaning on this, which it would be much bigger and stronger if it was God, right? But if we're leaning on this, you could literally translate this as that you are leaning on God, the fullness of God. I'm perfectly leaning on Him. My mind is leaning on God. And so your thoughts are resting on God's unfailing promises when you're fixed on God. And so my question for you tonight would be, what is your mind fixed on? What is your mind fixed on? When you're talking about this, you're thinking when you're downtime and your mind is just kind of drifting, where does your mind drift? When you have that idle time, where does it drift? What do you focus on when you have nothing else and it just kind of consumes your mind? Some of you might say, well, my mind drifts and I think about my financial problems. They kind of consume me at times. And some might say it's the political division that goes on in our country around us. And you know, I've had friends that have had to stop listening to talk radio because they would just get so upset and they just couldn't, you know, just consume them. And some of you might say that it's health issues that consume your mind. You know that you got a sickness and you don't know the answer yet and you're waiting to hear a report and it just consumes your mind. And so it might be health issues that your mind is going towards. And maybe it's just with everything that's going on in the world right now, or all the things that could be going on in the world right now. And you don't like them and you dread them. And so your mind just gets kind of consumed by them sometimes. Amen. And so what do you do when that happens? And we have to look at the scripture and we have to remember that you'll be kept in perfect peace, those whose minds are fixed on God. And I know I keep repeating that, but I'm trying to drive that home to us tonight, that we've got to fix our minds on God. The scripture in Philippians 4:8, Paul tells us, he wrote this, he said, fix your thoughts, okay? Not on whatever creates fear or anxiety or bad news of this world, but he says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. So what do? Think about those things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Amen? And so when your mind is fixed on God, when your mind is fixed on what is true, when your mind is fixed on those things that are praiseworthy and admirable, then the God that we serve is the God of peace that's going to be with you, because your mind is focused on Him. And when is the God of peace with you? We say, when is He with me? When your minds are fixed on Him. It's pretty simple. And so what I do is I tell myself all the time, I have to tell myself, my God is good. My God is great. He is always, always worthy of my praise. And me and my crazy Texas language, sometimes I say, there's nothing gooder than my God. And we all know that's not a word, but I use it a lot. But His promises are true, and His word never, ever fails. Amen? And so who is God? Who's God to you? You have to think about this sometimes. I'm trying to get your mind fixed on God. Who is God? You see, whenever I'm lost, He's my guide. Whenever I'm weak, He's my strength. Whenever I'm hurting, He's my comforter. You see, we have to fix our minds on God. In every situation in our life, you have to ask yourself those questions. In Romans 8:35, you can ask yourself this. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? You see, we could modernize that verse a little bit, and we could say relational tensions, loneliness, anxiety, fear, loss, depression. You see, we could name those things in there like they named back in those days. We have a whole different word for those things. But Romans 8:37 and 39 tells us this. It says, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from the love of God, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from the love of God. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Man, now that right there, that I could have read that scripture and that would have preached all night, and we could have just went home and just meditated on that, and it would have blessed my heart, because that is such a promise for us to look at. But you see, my mind is fixed on Him, and when my mind is fixed on Him, He offers us shalom, shalom. It's that perfect peace that God can only give that the world doesn't understand. Because it's the peace that the world can't find. You cannot find this kind of peace in the world. And this is what Jesus said in John 14:27. And this is so powerful. He said, "Peace I leave with you." And then He goes on to say something. I really want you to see this next one. So He says, "Peace I leave with you." Then He says, My peace I give to you. My peace. I do not give you as the world gives, and because I give you my peace, He says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Notice that Jesus says, my peace I give to you. How many of you want Jesus's peace today in your heart? You see, He's not giving you a peace, He's giving you His peace. And we know that God is the Father, that He loves His children, and He gives us good things, right? So it's the best peace that we can give. And I want to remind you that peace is not found in the absence of problems, that peace is found in the presence of God. You see, there's a story in the New Testament when the disciples, they were out on the boat, and this big storm comes, and the winds start to rock the boat, and the sailors, these disciples, they're just terrified. They're scared to death, and they're thinking they're going to die out there. And Jesus is sleeping in the bottom of the boat. And so we see that, and we see that he's just taking a nap. And what's interesting to me is when I look at this story, I see two storms going on. You see, there's one storm, and it's on the outside, and this is the one that you see the wind and the waves and the thunder and the lightning and all the things that are going on out there. But then there was another storm that's not visible to the eye, and that was the storm that was going on inside of these disciples. And I don't know about you, but so many times for me, the storm on the inside is way harder for me to manage than it is the storm on the outside. I'm just being transparent with you tonight. And I can look fine to you on the outside, but the storm sometimes on the inside can just be consuming me with fear and anxiety and doubt and worry. Is anybody else like that? Anybody else? It was the storm on the inside, though, that led these disciples to cry out to Jesus. And they cried out, "Jesus, don't you even care that we die?" And you see, some of you right now, I believe you're in a storm on the inside, and it's bringing you to doubts. God, are you even there? God, do you even know who I am? God, do you love me? Do you notice me when I pray? I've prayed, God, and I haven't heard you. I haven't seen you. God, I don't know what you're doing. God, are you taking a nap? Basically, that's what we say sometimes. And I can see on this boat when these disciples, they're all terrified and they're scared, and they're like, "Jesus, don't you even care that we're going to die?" I can see Jesus kind of get up and give one of these, and then He just looks around and He says, "Peace, be still." And the winds and the waves, they just stopped. You see, you can't speak what you don't have. And Jesus, who is peace, spoke peace in that moment. And sometimes whenever we are in those moments, we need Jesus, who is peace, to speak peace into our lives. Amen? And you can be kept in perfect peace when your mind is fixed on him. And can I want to be more transparent with you, you see. I know this truth, and I believe this truth. I know that there's peace available, that the peace that passes understanding. We know that scripture, but I've not always experienced perfect peace. Has anybody in here always experienced it, or is it just every once in a while? Just moments when your faith and your mind is focused on God and you don't take and look away. But there's also been times in my life, though, where I found God's word to be absolute and completely true. And my faith was strong and my mind was fixed on God. And when that happened, I found his perfect peace was available to me during those times. And even in the most difficult circumstances of our life, if we'll focus on God, we'll have that perfect peace. And I want to try to explain to you, if I can, what I've been doing here for the last few months to try to find God's perfect peace. And I've been very intentional about this because my mind, honestly, I needed it. I needed peace in my heart. And so I've been very intentional about this. And so this is my daily routine. So now whenever my alarm goes off, I start my day, and before my feet even touch the ground, I grab my phone and I get out my YouVersion Bible app, and I get my mind into God's word. That's the very first thing that I do. And I start renewing my mind or directing my thoughts. I'm very intentional about that. And then as the day goes on, I'd like to say that, that my first thoughts after I get out of the Word of God are all positive. But man, so many times my thoughts are negative. I'm like, okay, well, I got to do that, and I need to do this, and oh, I got to do that again, you know. And, my thoughts start out a little bit on the negative side at times. And so what I have to do is I have to be intentional and capture my thoughts. And that's what Scripture says, and I have to make them obedient to Christ. And so I have to force those bad thoughts and negative thoughts out of my mind, and I have to replace them with the truth and the Word of God. And I have to say things to myself, and these are the things that I say. You can say other things, but I have to say sometimes, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. God is blessing me whether I'm coming or going, and my heart is filled with love today, and I'm going to be a blessing to people as God blesses me. Those are things that I say to myself because I'm trying to capture my thoughts and replace them with the Word of God, the truth. And then at the end of my day, I try to focus on where I seen God working in my life that day and what I'm grateful for, the things of how I can see how God moved in my life that day. And even in the middle of the day where it's sometimes can be chaotic and painful and disappointing and all those things that hit us there throughout the day, I can always find something to be grateful for. And so what I've been doing is I've been trying to renew my mind. And over the last few months, has been probably one of the most complicated seasons of my life. But I've experienced, and I can tell you at first hand, that I've experienced shalom, the peace of God. In every way, in every storm that I've faced, everything that has been coming against me, I have found God's peace in it because God has prepared me and told me I needed to prepare my mind. I needed to renew it. And I find that peace that only I can't even understand it, but I know that it comes from God. And I know that so many of us this time of year, we don't have peace at all. We're wondering who we're going to make mad because we didn't go to their house. They didn't you know, this year, is it my in-laws or my outlaws time to go to, you know? I mean, you know, and we get this peace and we get tour and we're like, you know, I really want to give this to my kids, but we just can't find the money. So I'm either going to have to pay this bill or bless my kids. And we get this turmoil going on, and we all need peace this Christmas. I believe that's why the angel said, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. He knew we would need his peace. And so if you're going through a loss, a hurt, a pain, a fear, I just want to take Philippians 4, 6 and 7. And I just want to say it to you as a prayer tonight. All right? So bow your heads with me and close your eyes. And I'm going to read a scripture and let this be a prayer over you. It's been something that I've been reading as a prayer over my life as well. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I pray that that verse would minister to your heart as it has mine over the last few months. So many times, too many times to count, that verse has blessed my heart. When Paul said this, he said it from a prison where he was waiting possible execution. He's thinking, man, I could die tomorrow. And he writes and he pens the words, do not be anxious in anything. So can I tell you, whatever it is that's weighing you down today, this Christmas season, whatever it is that's gripping your heart, don't be anxious about that. But in every situation, he says, every situation. So whenever it's good news from the doctor or whether it's bad news from the doctor, whether there's money in the bank or the bank account is dry, whether your marriage is on a high or your marriage is on a low, in every situation, it says, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. You know what thanksgiving means? That means real praise. That means a heartfelt praise inside of your heart. With all the thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Man, it's the peace of God. Do you see that? It's the peace of God. It's not the peace of this world. It's not the peace of having money. It's not the peace of everything's going the way that you want it to go. It's the peace of God. In other words, the world can't give it and the world can't take it away. Only God can give it. Because this is a peace that's not from this world. It's a peace that comes only from God. Peace isn't the absence of heartache. It's not the absence of loss. It's not being void of disappointment, but it is the presence of God. That's what peace is. So whatever it is you may be going through right now, I just want to encourage you to fix your thoughts, your mind on Him. Think about what's good. Think about what's pure. And your mind will be kept in shalom, shalom. As you focus on the one who is peace and the one who is always good, you see, you can cast your cares on him because he cares for you. And I can tell you right now, he's with you right now. And maybe this word tonight is for you. Maybe it was just for me. I don't know. But God, I do know that God is a gift. Peace on earth. Peace be with you. Go in peace. Grace and peace for you. You see, it's a peace from heaven. These are all quotes from the Bible, and it's available to you and to me. Shalom, shalom. May God's peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds, your souls. I just want to pray before we end. So if you will, just bow your heads and let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray for my church family tonight. I pray that they would experience from you what only comes from you, and that's a peace in the middle of their fear, a peace in the middle of their doubt, a peace in the middle of their anxiety, a peace in the middle of their storm, a peace in the middle of their loss, whatever that is, God. God, we ask you this because you're a good God, and we trust you. And God, we thank you. We thank you that even though Jesus said that there was going to be trouble in this world, that we can rejoice and we can take heart because you have overcome this world. And this world is not all we have. We know, God, that we have you in heaven. One day there'll be no more crying, there'll be no more tears, there'll be no more pain, no more sickness. God, may we experience your peace this Christmas season like we've never experienced before. May we get a double portion. Shalom, shalom. And Father, I pray that as we get this double portion of peace, God, that we would speak it into those around us as well. Father, I thank you for this Christmas season, and I thank you for the angels that came and said peace on earth. God, we need peace on earth right now. We need peace in our homes, peace on the job. Father, we just submit ourselves to you, and I pray, God, that you would encourage and you would put a desire inside each and every one of us to focus our thoughts on you, and God, that we may renew our mind through your word. May we focus on you this season and not all the things that's going on, but our focus would stay on you this Christmas season. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I pray that God would just bless you this week. This coming Sunday, we're having our dream team party. So if you haven't signed up, please sign up so we kind of know how much food to order tomorrow. We're going to be ordering that. So please get yourself signed up for that. We're going to have a great time this Sunday. God has laid a message on my heart for Sunday morning, and I was wanting to preach it tonight, but I don't have it finished, so I got to finish it. I believe God has a word for us this Sunday, and then the next Sunday we're going to be doing our family communion, Christmas communion. And so I encourage you to invite someone over the next week or so and just say, hey, would you come and have family Christmas communion with us at our church? You see, they say that this Christmas is the second most time that their minds and their hearts are open to an invitation to church. Easter being number one, Christmas being number two. And so let's take advantage of that, and let's while their hearts are and their minds are open, let's invite our family that needs to know Jesus. Let's invite those people on our job that needs to know Jesus, our neighbors, our friends, whoever it may be. Say, hey, man, I'll save you a seat. You and your family, come join my family, and we'll do Christmas communion together. And I just believe God is going to do some mighty things. Amen? I love you. God bless you. I hope you have a great week. Shalom, shalom. Peace be with you.